trying to stare you down. This is the Lord's place, prayed over and built and dedicated for the worship of the Lord. And before me are some of God's choicest praying folks of this generation. We have the Word of God, no doubt about that. But still, the responsibility is awesome. And it makes us a little jittery. Hello, sister. What a blessing. I know it's a real sacrifice. I appreciate it. Bless the Lord. My friend, Travis Axon. Hey. Yeah. Will you open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 9? I've had some good flashbacks also during this meeting. I remember when the Lord moved my heart to get involved in what we call mission work. Actually, the Bible labels it a journey for the Lord. Believed it was the Lord's will, and several got interested and involved, and then they started not getting involved, and there was five, and there was four, and there was three, and there was two, and then there was one. Then I made trips by myself. I don't like to do that, but I believed it was the Lord's will. Made up a group. It was six of us, a different trip, and all got down to Norman Hester and I, and he said, I don't think I'll go. And I said, well, did your church already bought your ticket? It is non-refundable, non-transferable. He said, well, when are you going again? And I said, I'm going to go on the date we set. So Brother Norman Hester got on board and hazarded his life for the gospel. He shot up twice in the morning and twice in the evening to keep the diabetes from shutting his organs down. Already messed up his eyes. I'm testifying that sometime, brother and sister, we just have to walk it alone. Though we're not alone, no, never alone, but heard Dr. Ira Campbell say, if you're not willing to stand by yourself, you probably won't stand. But we don't have to stand by ourselves, Brother Gary. Sometimes it gets thin, though. The Lord moved my heart to resign from the business, the Baptist business we was involved in. I didn't know what I was going to do, and about 10 minutes after 3 on Saturday afternoon, I came in from out of the shop. My wife said, has the Lord showed you what we're going to do tomorrow? And I said, yes, ma'am, we're going to sit here and read the Bible and sing a song to one another to the Lord. And we met the next morning, and eleven folks showed up to worship with us. Now, time or two, it shook down to just wife and I. Sometime back, Brother Marty, we was having breakfast. She said, do you have a word for us from the Lord today? And I said, I think so. So we went and got what my grandson calls the church room ready, and we sat down, and it got 10, and it got 5 after 10, and 10 after 10. She said, I thought you said you had a word from the Lord for us. And she was telling it somewhere, and she said, he just got up and preached like he was full. Will you stand with me? You should be in Matthew chapter 9. Thank you, Brother Gary. Thank you, all you saints that's involved with your dollars and pennies and praying and your labor of love. If you can hear me in the kitchen, thank you very, very much for all that you do. Matthew chapter 9, begin reading in verse 30. Now, this is a verse or two before the paragraph starts, but I want to incorporate it. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Thank you, and be seated. I am acutely aware of my need for the Holy Ghost to be the teacher. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. We're confident in that, and we trust him to do that. We must keep in view that the primary ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ was the gospel, fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies concerning that. He did many miracles. It's strange that this is not the only occasion where he told them, don't say anything. Now, I've thought about that, Brother Pete, when the Lord gives me the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful privilege of espousing someone to the gospel, to Christ. I have actually thought about Brother Hamilton telling them, now don't you tell anybody about this. You can't shut them up. Let them know you. He shows up on the ground following Sister Tim, and you couldn't shut him up. And he hadn't changed a whole lot. When the Lord works a work, people,
yes,
you can't shut him up. Like Brother Bright testifying yesterday during the question. You just got to obey him. You have to tell somebody. Now, I know everybody's not like some of us. I really was not like I am. I totally before I saved. Bear with me, I'm really in a folly now, but I was so bashful I had to have a six-pack before I get up and play the jukebox. And the Lord really, really gave me a shot. When the Holy Ghost came in, I could not stay quiet. First of all, I want to talk to you about the compassion of Christ. Verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Compassion. This word is the word that we get our English word spleen from. Figuratively, it means sympathy. And most of us are too old to remember our spleen hurting when we exerted ourselves, especially running, and you get a little cramp in your side. It's your spleen overworking, trying to regulate the oxygen in your blood. But sometimes, brother and sister, it really happened. Someone before us is in such a pitiful estate, we just yearn. Sometimes just, you know, actually a physical hurt, but really in our bosom, we long for them. We hurt for them. We really want them to come to the Christ that we know. We want them, Brother Tim, to know the peace that we enjoy and know the satisfaction that's in Christ, and we don't need to suck and snort on pacifiers anymore. The Holy Ghost pacifiers, satisfier has done his work. No pacifiers. Now, it took a while for the Lord to get me loose from some of the pacifiers, but he's still working on me. The compassionate Christ. He is the express image of God the Father. He is so compassionate. Turn Hebrew. Keep your finger or something there, Brother Burnham. I intend to come back there and Miss Sharon will be ready when I get back there. Hebrews chapter 4. This has been mentioned a time or two. Hebrews chapter 4. I want to begin reading in verse 14. We're going to get the Bible in there, Brother Brian. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Reading, some people don't read the Bible. It digs down inside. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne It's still a throne, brother, sister, and sinner friend. It's still a throne that He's on. But it's a throne of grace. And we can come that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I've probably used this illustration before. I do it occasionally. We sing a song, used to more, a little chorus. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment. Your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. But I don't think that's the meaning of that portion of Scripture. Our Lord can be moved in our direction, Brother Pete. He knows. Brother Gary started us off the first night with this wonderful message out of Psalm 139. He understands our thought before we think about thinking it. What a great, powerful, loving Lord. He has been here. He knows what it's like. And He can be moved to come close and meet our needs. That's the kind of high priest we have. He's full of compassion. He can be touched by faith and moved in our direction. Listen to me, people. The miseries of sinful, self-destroying souls are the greatest miseries. Just said yesterday, just the tip of the iceberg of my sordid past. Now, some psychiatrist woman want to dig around in it. I think not. She says, I need to go back there and get some closure. And I said, ma'am, the door's closed. She said, you need to go back there. And I said, why? What possible good would it be out of it? Well, you can get it out and forget it. I didn't ask her, but I started asking her, how come the psychiatrist suicide rate is just below the unwed mothers? We're talking about people, sinful, miserable people. I've slipped under the bridge, had a candy bar for supper. I'm not bragging, I'm testifying. God is a great God to call us out of such a horrible, horrible, miserable, self-destroying life. Listen, Christ pities those who need it the most. He pities us. With that, so should we. The most Christ-like compassion is compassion to souls. I read there, he delivered them. And a lot of times we help people. If somebody's house burns, we try to help. And we try to do a little good in our little village. But the gospel is the most important thing, bringing the message of Jesus Christ to these self-destroying, pitiful, pitiful people. Some of them not kin folks, close kin folks. That's the compassion of Christ. The condition of them. Verse 36, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. The condition of them, they fainted. Precious, precious people start fainting. We look primarily at church folks. When duty is to be done, temptations to be resisted, afflictions to be borne, and not being nourished up in Jesus Christ. Just a form of godliness, but denying the power of it, which is Christ Himself. And the people are fainting. And then there's that old boy, he thinks he can get all the gusto, and this will be satisfaction in life, and he's fainting under it. He knows it. I really like to talk to those people better than I do church people. They know they lost. They know their life is a dead end. They can see down there and see their daddy and their older brother. It's a dead end. Their life's just unraveling. You say, son, why you want to go that way? Now some of them will listen and they begin to receive the gospel message. Some of us just stumbled in off the street and heard the gospel preached. That is the wonderful message of Jesus Christ. They were scattered. The case of these people, very needy. They either have no ministers at all, or those that they have are as bad as none. Those seek their own things, not the things of Christ, and the souls of people, wrapped up in themselves and in their ministry. That's about the smallest package I've ever seen is a preacher wrapped up in himself. He sure is a little bitty package. I have several scriptures here I won't go to. The Old Testament is full of these kind of people. But they don't change when you get to the New Testament. Did you remember reading about when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? Do you know what the religious leaders ought to do? Get him. And they'll shut you down. Well, I remember when I was a brand new Christian, some of the good church people told me when I'd stuck people in the parking lot. They'd come by and they'd say, "We have our churches for them." I didn't know any different. I said, "Well, I just had to talk to them." I still don't know much different, my brother and sister. Brother Barney, thank you, brother, for being honest first night. I don't do like it. My ministry is such a pitiful, pitiful little speck of the work of the Lord that's before me. I fail Him more often than I obey Him. But I don't want to fail. I want to be a faithful witness of the gospel. Why? These people, are sheep having no shepherd. Now for sure, brother and sister, Jesus is the true shepherd. Without Him, there's nothing but fainting and fatigue and vexation, and it winds up depression. It's an amazing, horrible thing how many folks in the church are depressed. We had a fella come preach to us on depression. Of course, you could put any word in there in his title. And he got through preaching, we got the back door. Brother Marty Thompson would go down one side shutting stuff off, and I'd go down the other side, and he waited at the back, and I knew he had something on his mind. Come up there, and he said, "I'm glad you've got that fellow to come preach to us." And I said, "You are?" He said, "Yeah, I'm glad he preached on depression." And I said, "Well, that's good." He said, "I hadn't had a whole bunch of times, I just didn't know what to call it." Just down. Down. But we have a high priest, and we have a true shepherd. May we, brothers and sisters, be the ones that are led in and out to pasture by Him. We talked about it in one of the prayer times. We can get in a meeting like this. I know I'm going to indict you. Excuse me. I saw your nose hole start flaring. I can get in a meeting like this. Wonderful fellowship, Bible preaching, good cooking, and I can slip a little bit in my personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. What a horrible, horrible thing. We need Him so much. And as we go in and out to find pasture and to fellowship with Him and to commune with Him and sup with Him, we are the ones that are eager to find somebody. Do you know the next person you talk to, Brother Sadowski, may be one of the lost sheep? Either a Jew or of the other fold, us Gentiles. Now, I got ahead of myself. Let me get back to this. We need to understand that folks need to hear. I shared with you yesterday morning, I think, the elect need someone to tell them the truth about Christ. Listen to Acts chapter 8, verse 30 and 31. "And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Understandest thou what thou readest?' And he said, 'How can I except some man should guide me?' And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And Philip made haste." Praise God. Saul is told in Acts 9:6, "You go over there and sit down. It shall be told thee what thou must do." And Cornelius, separated, sanctified by the Holy Spirit, sought God with such a fervent heart, God sent an angel to him. But the angel couldn't tell him what he needed to know about mercy and deliverance, salvation. But Peter did. So he told him to send for Peter, and you know the story there. That's an amazing story. I like it. While he yet spake, while he's still preaching, the Holy Ghost came. I like to put that on my oneness Pentecostal family. Then they filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Then Peter said, "Is there any reason why we should not baptize these?" Because their verse is twisted and twisted out of Acts 2:38, twisted plumb out of the Bible. But at Cornelius' house, they got the Holy Ghost with evidences before they ever got in the water. I like that. Thank God. That's what happened to most of us people. Do you have the vision that Christ will find a sheep? Are you obedient to that vision? Bring me to the third point, Sister Ruth. The commission to the disciples. Back to our text, Matthew 9, verse 37. "Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." You know, people, there's still a lot of fainting, feeble, foolish people all around us, all up and down the road. You know, some of your neighbors, some of my neighbors. One of my neighbors claims to be a deacon in a Baptist church. And I said, how come you don't never go somewhere and worship then? Well, I can do that at the house. I do. And he brought that up. I'd like to think so. He's sitting over there watching television, and we are singing and praying and preaching. There's still a lot of folks there. This is just the fainting and these words up there scattered. The figure representing their spiritual condition. A lot of people fainting under the burdens of false shepherds. My wife was loaded down with condemnation, Brother Pete, as a Christian. Some things she had done as a Christian. God sent Brother Conrad Murrow by to preach to us out of the book of Romans, chapter 8. And God used the word to deliver her. There is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. None, my brother and sister. Now, you'll accuse and condemn yourself. And sometime the preacher will. And for sure some of your family will. But our Lord will not. There's a difference in preaching people under condemnation and preaching conviction of the Holy Ghost. There's a commission that we have. Christ calls these kind of fellows that I just talked about hirelings. The sheep are wandering as sheep left without care. The laborers are few. Such compassionate laborers who are willing to spend and be spent for Christ and immortal souls have always been few in all ages, and generally speaking, that's so today. With all that's going on and the going, growing, glowing, go get 'em churches, there's still people fainting under the load of life and the pressures of life that are God's little sheep need a word from some compassionate laborer. The laborers are few. Those whose interest is that fainting souls be saved by Jesus Christ. People, can't we see that they can't see? I know I've told most of y'all before when I went to church because my wife was there. We wasn't married then. And I did. I was courteous enough till they said amen, and I thought that was it, and I hit the door. And I lit a cigarette up on the way to my truck and talked to anybody who wanted to listen with my twin pipes on the way out. But don't mark that fellow off. He's hurting on the inside. One of my friends said to church the other day was at Dr. Pete Keefaber, and he said, y'all don't appreciate this fella. Used to, you didn't have to make him mad. He got up like that. My nickname was Stone Face. Don't mark that kind of fella off. Pray. That's the necessary ingredient, my brother and sister. Pray. Pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Pray, I pray that God will send some labor by some of my kinfolks. Don't look like they're listening to me. Maybe one will sow, another will water. For sure, God will give the increase. God, it's God that gives the increase. Listen to him. We don't have to perform nor produce. Just proclaim. Tell him. The Lord of the harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16. I want to put this in. It came in the question yesterday. Acts chapter 16. Brother and sister, I have been on so many campaigns, I'm a skeptic. I mean, stirred up and leave out and head out on some kind of noble campaign. But we must pray and seek the leading of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 16. Let's begin reading in verse 6. Now, when they were gone throughout Perdia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Isn't that strange? In the face of modern day processum, it's strange that this missionary of missionaries beside Christ was forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach in this area. That's strange. Now, you know he wanted to. After they were come to Mysia, they assayed to go to Bithynia. Now, that's an old English word. I mean, they are really putting their best foot forward. We're going to go to Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, and came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And immediately after he'd seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosened from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the... women. This great man of God wanted to preach in Asia. He wanted to go to Bithynia, but the Holy Ghost sent him out to the riverbank where some women were wanting to pray. Isn't that something? Well, a friend of mine, I got him a place with on the side of the mountain. He got up there and preached, and he come back, and he said, ain't nothing but women and kids up there. Hey, that's been the case a lot of times. I've wondered where Timothy's papa and grandpa, mom and grandma really got high marks in the Bible, but where's daddy and granddaddy? Go figure. Listen, ladies, keep praying. If, brethren, if we can keep the ladies praying, we can weather in the storm. But when they quit praying and start complaining and murmuring among themselves, you got a problem you can't handle. I'm testifying to that effect. I know I rode that rough riding horse. Listen, we must be willing. Praying and willing, ready to go as the Spirit leads us. Directed by the Spirit. Well, how do I know where you want to go? How do I know? Lean that way. If He don't want you to go that way, He can change your direction. Ask Jonah. He can put you on a straight course, and that's what they did. Straight then. They went on that course to go over there and find a few women on the Greek bank wanting to pray. Those, listen to me, brother, sister, those that are workmen for Christ desire other workmen. That's what provoked these fellas to say something about these young folks that are here. What an encouragement. What a great blessing. And for them to come along, Brother Barney, and excel us, what a wonderful thing. I like to see some of the young brothers. One of them, Nathan Green, called me this morning just to check in, let me know he's praying for us, brother. And those of you, the young pastor, though not so young, but comparatively speaking to some of us, he's young. But his heart's on fire for God. And his desires that his church be built up in faith and edified. He'll even have Brother Barney Brown come preach every year. Wanting his folks to learn the Bible, the Word of God. And then he desires that they'd be stirred and moved to reach out to lost sinners. We must come with that attitude of John in chapter 3, verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. I close with this. In your life and my life and what we do, calling it for the Lord, who gets the glory? I made a statement here one time. Boy, I suffered under that. I think that's reading some of the fellas got soured on me. I said, does anybody know what the Lord's doing? We know what you're doing. You've been bragging about it since you come up on the grounds. And I went on trying to preach, but some of them didn't like that. But I'm back, hallelujah, and I'm still nearly about a charter member of this, a fixture for sure. Listen, people, as we seek to be a blessing to people by helping them in temporary things, we must first remember the multitudes did not follow Christ after He fed them, healed, or delivered them. The multitudes did not. Ask Dr. Graham. Get in the computer. He's faithful with the percentages. It's extremely, extremely low of those that moved in stadium evangelism ever united with a local church. Remember that our primary purpose is to seek the salvation of the lost, fainting, elect sheep. We're not trying to enlist goats or catch hogs or feed dogs flesh. We do expose a wolf when we recognize it, but we want to feed the little sheep some sheep fodder. If we put out sheep food, brethren, low enough the little ones can get it, the big ones to get all they want. If we keep putting out sheep fodder, the dogs are going to go somewhere where they can get some flesh. And the hogs got to go where the filth is permitted. Now the wolves we have to pray and learn how to expose. Do we really care for the souls of people that are like sheep with no shepherd?
Sure we do.
If we're saints, we do. It has caused me to compromise in times past, desiring to get the word to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then we must not be stopped by those who turn away and walk with Christ no more, even our families. That's one of the first great disappointments in my life in ministry, when it looked like this fellow had come to Christ, made a blazing testimony, but would not follow Christ. That was so discouraging. Boy, that was really discouraging. It is still discouraging. But we must not be stopped, brother and sister, in this interest we have in getting the gospel to the lost elect. Saint, what will you, or what will I do? Will you renew your commitment to Christ to obey Him in this matter? Sinner, will you turn to God from your sins and to Christ for salvation? To both saint and sinner, if we keep wandering around in the same trail that we're in, why do we expect anything to be different? But if we just keep trudging along, sinner, if you keep refusing the message of Christ and refusing to repent and obey the gospel, how can you ever expect your life to be anything different? Just away, 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 away from Christ. Don't keep wandering around sinning against Christ. Listen, repent and believe the gospel. You, listen, we are commanded to tell you about salvation in Jesus Christ. We desire to do that. We pray that God will keep us faithful to that. And you are commanded to repent and believe the gospel. It's not an option. This modern space age, modern day, three or four words come to my mouth. Not vulgar words, but just inappropriate. They don't care about the souls of men and women. Just process them and let them wander on in their lost estate. But brother and sister, we care. You care. Now let me say one more time. We are not commanded to perform nor produce. Just proclaim. One sows, another waters. God give the increase. I was preaching for Brother Pete Hutchinson some time back while I was preaching. I made a statement about the Holy Ghost wind blowing across. And this person began to change, even their countenance changed back there, Brother Pete. The seed had been sown. I just come around with some Holy Ghost water and wind. And God does that, brother and sister. Thank you, Brother Gary. Pray for me, brother.